Almighty God, we who are gathered together in council pledge ourselves to work in harmony for the welfare and development of our rural city. Guide us, we pray, in our deliberations. Help us to be fair in our judgment and wise in our actions, so that the prosperity and happiness shall be the lot of our people. Amen. Acknowledgement of country. I would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land on which we are meeting, the Lachi Lachi people, and pay my respects to their elders, both past and present. Thank you. And I'd like to welcome everyone tonight, and it's great to see democracy at work, and hope we have a great meeting. I'd like to acknowledge Councillor Thorburn back in the chamber. Thanks, Councillor Thorburn. I know you've come tonight here under duress, and I really do appreciate it, and I think the council does, and the community. Could I have any apologies?
Nil, Mr. Mayor.
Apologies? Okay. Confirmation of minutes for the special council meetings held on the 10th of May, the 23rd of May, and a confidential council meeting on the 23rd of May. Do I have a mover? Councillor Clements. Seconder? Councillor Spool. Sorry. Do I have anybody against? For those in favour? It's moved. Carried. Could I have a mover for the confirmation of assembly of councillors? Recommendation on at 6. Thank you, Councillor Kappa. Seconder, Councillor Milne. Do I have any objections? No objections. Those in favour? It's carried. We have no notification of absence.
No, I've received none, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, thank you, Mr. CEO. We'll go on to 8, the mayoral report. And as my fellow councillors can see, I've had a lot of things on my plate at the moment, but the most important one was, of course, the down in Canberra. And it was a fabulous meeting over the week for the National Assembly, and I was accompanied by the CEO, and you can see the report there on pages 13 through to 15. So have somebody move the that report. Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Clements. Thank you, Councillor Modica. Nobody against? All in favour? Thank you. Let's go to councillor reports on 19.1. Any reports? Thank you, councillor.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to make a couple of reports on comments, really. Positivity throughout May. So two events. One was the Northern Mallee Leaders Vision of the Region Dinner. So we heard from Daryl Buckingham from Mildura Regional Development, Anne Mansell from Dried Fruits Association, and also Jeff D from Sunny Tape. So I found it quite positive to listen to their vision, which was towards growth, tolerance and safety. The other thing I wanted to comment on was Councillor Kappa and Ms. Whelan and I attended the mass lunch celebrating volunteers. There was about 200 women there. What was discussed was that the sad point that a quarter of our municipality are living on less than $650 per week combined gross income. Now the flow-on from that is unhealthy people and also homelessness. But the good news is that we are improving on this statistic. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further reports? Councillor Moore.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I'll turn this on. I've just returned from the Rail Freight Alliance conference in Melbourne today, and I guess really what came out of that, there was a number of speakers, Peter Walsh, David Davis, Minister Allen, and the Green representative, and I haven't got notes, I haven't had a chance, I've just got out the car, so I apologise to the Greens rep for not remembering her name, but the good news to come out of all of that is basically all sides of government, including the Greens, have got a real passion for rail freight and the rail system, and to get more freight on rail, also more passengers, and it's coming from all sides of Parliament. But there still is, there's a huge amount of work to do on the infrastructure, the rail lines themselves. There's a number of problems with the Murray Basin project, with crack joins on railway lines, and so there's still a lot of work that has to be done there. But the future is very bright, and it's certainly the need is seen to get as much freight as we can back on the trains and away from the road. So good outcome overall.
Thank you, Councillor Milne. Any further reports, councillors? Could I have somebody move? Thank you. Move the reports. Yep. Second. Nobody against? All in favour? Okay, carried. Now, Councillor Glenn Milne, first up. Response to councillor questions about land zoning, the Alta and the Coolum. You happy with that reply?
Yes, to a degree. I think there's still some more space to go, but happy with the answer at the time.
Thank you. Questions from councillors? Councillor Fulmer.
For me, this will come as no surprise, really. How many of the 300 trees have been removed from the former caravan park at 15th and Deakin in preparation for Aldi? And what is council policy with tree replacement with such a development? How many trees will be required to be planted in the municipality elsewhere for the trees that are currently being removed from this particular site? Or is this included in our policy, or is it not?
That will be taken on notice, Sir Councillor Thorburn. Thank you.
Second one relates to the Ogun District Football Club, and I noticed that I think the person who contacted me, Jared, is in Geelong today. Why was the Ogun District Ogun United Football Club served with a water notice for the front section of the park, which included the public toilets, which are actually on the highway?
Take it on notice. Thank you.
The second part of that question is: at what stage are we with the scoping of a short length of pipeline? And I believe it's about 2 car lengths, which would link the rural water supply with the supply at Ogun, and ultimately mean that for the same cost as what council is providing at the moment with the watering of Blackburn Park, if it was connected to rural water, the cost would be the same to supply the water to the main oval and also to the oval just recently constructed in the trotting track. So the question is in relation to the provision of rural water supply for that instead of the current townland.
Take that on notice too. Thank you, Councillor Fulman, for your questions. Any further questions, Councillor Newman?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I've got about 3. Can I have some feedback on the option of placing access road construction conditions on newly irrigated land to ensure trucks and staff have suitable access to those properties? I understand that we could put a condition on a property, because many of the properties that have recently been established and vines, almonds, whatever been built on them actually haven't got a bitumen road to the farm gate. So I'm not expecting an answer straight away. I'm happy to have it taken on notice. But could we have some feedback on the option of doing that, whether that's a possibility or not?
Yes, we can do that.
Yeah, thank you. But also, my recent comments on the proposed meter clearance for bike riders has been deemed irrelevant by some of our bike riding set, but the Spider's Web or Coughlin Avenue. There's one such road in question where a passing move would be impossible. Even more impossible with the usual two abreast antics of the two-wheel brigade. But there's a unbroken white line down the middle, and there would be no way to give a metre between a car and a bike to pass them, so you just have to follow the pushy all the way around Copland Avenue. So it really is an issue that should the government bring that into play. So I would like us to, you know, take that seriously and have a look at some of those roads, because in all seriousness, we don't want somebody on a bike getting knocked off and hurt. We don't want altercations, but we do have to be realistic. If it comes in, possibly there's some roads that really shouldn't have bikes on them.
Yeah, I think would you be happy if we took that back to forum, Councillor?
Yeah. It's a real issue. Yeah. I'm not trying to just get stuck into the bike ride. And also, can we have back to maybe the forum a review of the cost of advertising A-frames and tables outside of the city? I've got an answer to the question that I asked recently in council about the cost, and yes, table and chairs are charged at a tenth of the price, but those other items aren't. So if we could at least have some discussion as part of the forum on what we can do, if we can do anything, if councillors really think it's an issue. The last one is following the recent release of the dam pokies loss figures in our community, $77,000 a day. That's $3,200 an hour, so depending how long this meeting takes, it could be $6,400 spent locally, wasted. Can we please lock in the development of a poker machine policy for our council? We have to address this problem. It's on the front page of the paper. We really need to think about how we treat poker machines, licences, etc. into the future.
Okay, we can discuss that at the forum as well.
Thank you. That's the end of the questions.
Councillor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I've got five questions tonight. I was just wondering if I could have an explanation as to why we are now using lawyers from Melbourne to execute our 173 agreements, as opposed to all the local options here. And further to that, where there can't be a financial reason, as the applicant pays for this expense anyhow.
Yes, Mr. Perrin?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. We have and sought legal firms to be part of a panel to provide legal services to council. So those people who applied and were assessed are part of that panel.
Thank you. My second question is, why isn't there any councillors or an invitation for any councillors to sit on the PRC committee when, from my understanding, it was originally set up to have a councillor or two involved on there?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, it was never set up to have councillors on it. It's a committee that operates under delegation, so it wouldn't be appropriate to have a councillor on it.
Right, thank you. Is it possible, Mr. Mayor, can we investigate the opportunity of having our own MRF or materials refining facility run by a private company, e.g. the Cleanaway or our waste, whatever. Can we explore that opportunity, please?
I think that's... Yes, we can bring that up in the forum, Mr. Councillor Scott.
Thank you. And also, can we have a review or explanation of the group accommodation policy at the next forum as well?
Okay. Listed on the agenda too.
Thank you. And can I also have a breakdown of each department's spend on legal advice and costs, please? Mr. Mayor, I don't expect that tonight, obviously.
We'll provide that by then, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any further questions, councillors? Okay. There's no notice of motion, no petitions.
No.
Okay. Now, I think that what we're going to do for convenience sake is, councillors, first of all, we've got to take a motion to admit into confidential two items, one a contractual award and the other one an insurance renewal. So if I can move those. Thank you, Councillor Mill. Thank you, Councillor Modica. Anybody against moving those into confidential? 4. Thank you. Carried. And the other thing I'd like to do too is take 14.7, change of order in our agenda, and move the adoption of the annual budget 2018-2019 to bring it forward to 14. Do I have a mover to do that? Thank you, Councillor Clements. Seconded, Councillor Poole. Anybody against that? In favour? Okay, thank you. So we'll proceed with that, councillors. 14.7, the adoption of the annual budget 2018-2019. Do I have a mover? Councillor Clements, second. Seconder? Councillor.
Question.
Councillor Milne.
With questions.
Question? Yes.
If council didn't raise. Raise the rates as put forward in our budget according to the current rating strategy, would that then leave council open to challenges at VCAT? I'll explain. West Wimmera have raised the rates right across the board of everybody at 2.5% or 2.7%, rather than have it done according to the CIV. Under our rating strategy, which is how we set how people pay their rates, that's an approved strategy at council. So if council chose to move away from that on the spur of the moment, you would then have some people paying less rates than what they should under our strategy, some people paying more. Would that then leave that open to a legal challenge? Because if somebody is unhappy with their rate notice, the amount of rates they're paying, they can take it, they come in, discuss it, but they can take it to VCAT to have it heard. If we go to VCAT and someone is...
I get the guess.
So you get what I'm saying?
They don't need to talk to it. They don't need to talk to it.
No, I'm asking a question. Yeah. I need to some advice.
Yeah, Mr. Parry, thanks.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. So yes, you're correct in that the rating strategy has been adopted by council. That was a 5-year rating strategy. 2018-19 is the last year of that strategy, and a new one, the process to develop a new strategy has already commenced. In deviating away from that strategy at the moment, there's two components. In deviating away from that strategy, public consultation would need to occur, and then any revised strategy would need to be publicly exhibited for 28 days, receive submissions, and then subsequently adopted by council. So that it is basically the long and the short of it, which potentially does leave it open to challenge.
Thank you.
Is that clear on that?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you. I'm going to be lenient. No further questions, councillors? Those against the motion?
Any speakers?
Yes, speakers against the motion, yes.
Yeah.
So pass it over to Councillor Clements to have the motion.
Yes, thank you. I'm not going to address the budget as a whole. Obviously, it's a fairly complex and extensive document, but I will address the issue at hand, of course, which is of the farm rates, which appears to be the particular issue of concern to our farmers, many of who are here, a representative number of them here, and there's more outside, I'm aware. And I'm sure that they only represent quite a few others. So I just want to address the issue or their concern in relation to what they believe is a blanket 23% rate increase or something like that. I can tell you now that there is no 23% blanket rate increase. There never has been for farmers and there never will be. There is no such thing as a blanket rate increase. The figure of 23% is actually 22.87%, and that's the overall average increase of monies collected from the farming sector compared to the previous year. It's not the percentage increase attached to individual farms, and we have to be very clear on that. rate increases, or in some cases decreases, are set by calculation involving the inflation rate, which at the moment is sitting at 2.25%, multiplied by a proportion of the capital improved value of individual properties. There is no blanket 23% increase, and people have been saying that, and people that have been saying that need to understand that it's wrong. And if people have gone to meetings and been told that that's the case, they need to go back to the people that told them that and ask them why they were told that, because it's just not true. So the question arises, where did the figure of 23% come from? Well, there are a number of large farm properties this year which were rated with an increase of up to 90% or more. These are integrated horticultural farms outside the Lower Murray Water area, such as the big corporate almond farms and similar. They're big corporate entities, and they've poured a lot of money into production and infrastructure, and so have significantly increased the overall value of their properties, and so they've been rated accordingly. Now, that data set, all those monies, that increase of 90%, has then been put into the same data set as every other farmer, and it's skewed the data to look like there's a 22.87% increase in rates. There isn't. It's just a skewing of the data set because of these big corporates and the fact that that their 90% plus valuations have been pumped into this data set and pushed it up and made it look something that it's not. So the thing is, in relation to the actual rates, is that some will go up and some will go down, as they always have. I'm not a fan of capital improved value as a way of rating. It's not fair on anyone. Not only is it not fair on farmers, but it's not fair on people who own houses and shops and so on, because it doesn't reflect actual income. It doesn't reflect how much people actually earn and their capacity to pay. But this is the rating system that we have. It's the rating system that we've agreed to over a 5-year period, and we are reviewing it now. But the unfortunate thing is, the government is introducing an amendment to the Local Government Act that will make capital improved value the only way that you can rate property in Victoria. That's legislation. The council doesn't have the capacity or the ability to do something outside of legislation. We have to follow the law, and that will be the law. But even with capital improved value in there, some properties will go up and some properties will go down. Millerwood Dryland farmers, for example, on average, and we're still talking percentages, so this won't be a blanket thing, this will vary. But Millerwood Dryland farmers, for example, will get a 4.6 average decrease in their rates. And yet I had an email from a woman today from Millerwood Landcare Group asking me how I could sleep at night. Well, I sleep very well at night, thank you very much. These people have not got an understanding of how this actually works. Okay, so this year, as I say, some farmers will get an increase, some will get a decrease, some will be no change. That's the way it's always been, and that's the way it'll continue to be. But there will be an overall general increase in some areas because the value of land has gone up in some areas. And in our rating strategy, we need to review that. The 5-year rating strategy finishes this year. Council will review their rating strategy this year. And my hope is, personally, my hope is that we do something to alleviate the pressure on some of these farms. I've heard comments like, these wheat farmers, they get $1 million cheques. Well, yeah, that might be so, but what they don't take into account is the $1 million cheque is cut in half by the $500,000 that it took to put the grade in the ground and then pull the wheat out and cart it. And it doesn't take into account the fact that next year the farmer might get nothing. They might just break even. And if there's a drought, and there is an impending drought by the looks of it, they might not make any money for another 2 or 3 or 5 years or however long. They might lose money. And then they go into debt to the banks and so on. I'm not a fan of capital improved value as a means of rating. It should be based on people's ability to pay. But that's what we've got now, and we can't just change it on the spur of the moment. What we need to do is to go in full consultation with everybody, the farmers, the people who live in the residential areas, the commercial areas, everyone. We need to consult everyone and come up with a new plan, and I ideally hope that in that process we are able to do something. Like, for example, there's not a lot we can do in relation to the capital improved value, but we can reduce the rate for farmers by percentage. At the moment, farmers pay 95% of the residential rate. We could reduce that, and we probably, well, I won't say we probably will, but yeah, we may. I hope we do. But we'll do it based on facts, and we'll do it based on analysis, and we'll do it based on consultation. And we won't need you to do it today. It'll be something that needs to be done professionally, and it needs to be done with a lot of work to come up with the right strategy to relieve some of the pressure on some of the farmers. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Clements. Councillor Mills.
I think Councillor Clements hasn't left me with a lot to say, but I do, look, I agree and I acknowledge the concern of the farmers, and you know, I've read reports in the Weekly Times today. I've spoken to councillors from other areas that are dealing with the same problem. It's not only Mildura. It is the rating system we've got to deal with. Hence my question at the start about if you deviate away from an accepted strategy that's gone through all the processes and is basically council law at this stage, even the differential rate that we've already got in place for farmers, if we deviated from that, which one council has, and just put a blanket increase across everybody, then there is the danger that you could end up in VCAT with a couple of thousand, maybe more, disgruntled ratepayers taking us to VCAT and actually even getting a claim against council, which means you've got to give the money back, and then that leaves a huge hole in the budget for council, and that would be extremely unwise. We are dealing with a system that isn't ideal, and I think most councils across the state, there's always discussion about CIV and how you, you know, get your rates, how you make that decision, the instruments that you have to, you know, use to do that. It's not liked by anybody. There needs to be a better system, but that's something that the state government has to put in place. It may have been fine 50, 100 years ago, but it doesn't seem to be working now. We have the arguments about people in other areas paying less for their big flash houses than they have to in Mildura. The reality is it costs X amount, whether it be $2,000 a lot, basically, to service a community, to provide everything they want. It really doesn't matter how much your house is worth. So we probably need more community education about the costs. We need discussion with the government to work out, is there a better way? We need to listen to the concerns and address them. But tonight, we're left with no other way of setting our budget than what we've got before us. And I would actually urge people and farmers to ring the rates department and check the value of your land, because that's the only way you're going to determine whether it's gone up or down. It's really a concern that everybody comes out all of a sudden and thinks my rates have gone up 20 or 25%, when it's actually not true. That's been averaged out, as Councillor Clements explained. So I've had a couple of farmers ring me and I said, look, just give the rates department a ring in council and ask the question first, find out the facts, and then if you think it's unfair, you can still take that to VCAT and have it heard. If you believe you're paying too much, if your land's overvalued, if you think you've had the wrong thing done by you. So there are ways for for farmers, for members of the community to have their problems addressed and go through those processes. But as far as council's concerned, we've had a lot of work put into our budget. It's done around our current laws and our current strategies that have been accepted. And if we deviate from that, we leave our council exposed to litigation, I believe. We also, if we don't pass the budget, we live without any money anyway. So that creates a difficult situation in itself. So at the moment, yes, I acknowledge the degree of upset in the community. I acknowledge that we need to look at the rating strategy next year, and I would hope that everybody gets involved, and hopefully we can come out if there is an unfairness in it. That's really the way to address that, is next year, through the year, get involved, be part of it, talk it through and see what we come out with, and it may or may not change, but at least we do need to acknowledge and have that conversation. So I am happy to support the budget as it stands. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Mills. Speaking against the budget, Councillor Pearls first.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I understand that we are legislated to submit and adopt this budget by the 30th of June, which doesn't give us very long. My preference is that we ring the Minister tomorrow to request if we can have another 28-day submission. Due to the timing with a lot of farmers being, which is what we're basically discussing tonight, the farmland rate, were flat out cropping, so weren't able to put in their submission. And I would propose and or that we also try and bring forward the review of the complete rating strategy that is based around. I do agree, Councillor Clements, that that needed a bit of clarity with regards to it's not a straight 23% increase, and it does cover corporate horticulture as well. Yet, because this rate is 15% of our rate assessments, and as my colleagues know from the phone calls and emails and community concern that we've physically seen over the last few days, I believe that we can request the 28-day extension for submissions. May I also just comment that if this does be adopted tonight, just reinforcing that the relevant people, exactly what Councillor Milne said, they can request to see how that affects them individually, because it's quite variable, and you also may object to the valuation as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Poole. I will ask for a clarification on that, Mr. Perrin, or the CEO, on the issue of the 28 days and contacting the Minister and what the ramifications are behind that.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. We would have to seek further clarification on that. However, the length of time would actually be greater than 28 days, assuming that we were permitted to do that, in that the 28 days would be the time frame from when a revised budget is, exhibition. So basically, work would have to be done to undertake a revised budget. That revised budget would have to be adopted in draft principle by council. It would then have to go out on public exhibition, which would start the 28 days. The conclusion of that, should there be any submissions, those submissions would have to be analysed, potentially a submissions panel convened, and those submissions are presented before council. Subsequently, any other further amendments made, and then the budget would have to come back to council. So, in my opinion, we're probably talking about a 4-month process, assuming we are permitted to do that.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Perrin. Councillor Brown.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor. Yes. Someone for the meeting procedure says that the next one to speak is someone
before. Yes, sorry. Yeah,
I thought Councillor Brown indicated earlier he was against it, so the next to speak should be someone for.
You're right. Thank you very much, Councillor Thorburn. Councillors for the motion like to speak for the motion. No councillor like to speak for the motion? Right. Councillor Modica.
Yeah, I fully support Councillor Clements and Councillor Milne. There's been a lot of time and effort put into the rating process that our council workers do. As we've said, there is a review of the rate strategy coming up, and to bring that forward, I don't think would be reasonable, and I would recommend exactly what Councillor Milne said too. If there are issues within the farming community, to look into what the valuation is, whether they can seek assistance. But after, when this 5-year rating period closes, when the time comes to have your say, that's the time to do it, and we can work together as a community to build an outcome that will be beneficial for everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Monica. Anybody else want to speak for the motion?
No, that's
against the motion. Against the motion.
Next one to speak.
Against the motion. Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, fellow councillors, I hereby table a petition that have been handed to me from the people in the audience against the outlandish average rate revenue increases. There may be some decreases, but for every decrease is an increase. The actual petition I'll pass through to the CEO, and the actual petition reads that this demands that the Council of Mildura Rural City Council adjust the rating differentials to ensure each rateable category shares the increased rate burden from 2018 to 2019. There's 350 signatures on the way. Okay, it's been passed through the table. I continue, Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
As a farmer representative, and you all know that, I cop it all the time, don't I cannot, with a clear conscience, support a budget that penalises farmers for the 22.87 average rise in rate revenue. 5 years ago, MRCC implemented a rate review which locked in a farm differential and a municipal charge, which in effect equaled a 10% reduction in all farm rates each year over the last 5 years, so that's something. While irrigated properties come out okay on this, dry land gradually slipped behind approximately 10% increase per year over and above. The draft budget was set on these premises correctly on the 10th of May, with submissions to be considered until the 20th of June. No relative submissions received. Normally under these circumstances, I would vote for the budget. However, never in our wildest estimates did we expect the CRB to raise so dramatically, resulting in a 23% average increase. 22.87, we corrected. The timing of annual valuations by the state government may have made the position worse for farmers this year, as that without a valuation this year, last year's CAB would have been used with a 2.25% increase. So we're blaming Mr. Andrews, aren't we?
Point of order.
Sorry.
Really?
I shall not blame. Okay. I accept that.
Would you please retract that?
Thank yes,
you.
I'll retract that.
Thank you.
But the US government put in the annual rate, annual valuation. Expecting 4% of the population, I've got here to carry an 18% burden, but I've also heard 15%, so I'll split the difference. To finance a municipality is totally unacceptable, yet residential rates have no increase. Imagine the outcry if residentials had a 23% increase. This place would be bombarded. Sunraysia, Mallee, Track and Miller would not exist without the farming fraternity. Asking farmers to shoulder the burden of service of the municipality is basically unfair. I've got in here just not cricket. I note with interest the press and the ratepayer associations do not pick this unsustainable increase. I look forward to the rate review later in the year to bring some balance back. I'm sure the BFF and other farm groups and individual farmers will contribute positively to this review. So for the reasons stated, I will not support the budget this year, regrettably. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Brown. For the motion. Councillor Shiloh, for the motion.
No,
nobody for the motion. Against the motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Firstly, I'll just pick up on one of the points raised by the mover, Councillor Clements. I don't agree with the comments regarding regarding rate increases, as I believe a lot of farmers here tonight have calculated what they're going to pay this year versus what they're going to pay next year. and these rates will go up more than 4%. These people aren't stupid, and saying that rates will go down is a play on figures. As the net payable amount is going to be more, I guarantee you that. I speak here tonight against the proposed budget, not in its entirety, but against what I see as a very unfair impost on our holders of farmland, which are predominantly farmers. I'm well aware of the reasons presented, why, and the increase in value seems to be the culprit of the rate increases. However, it is my opinion that our rating strategy, which will come up for discussion later this year, has failed to provide a fair, equitable system for all in our municipality. I'm not saying that residential or businesses in town should pay for the shortfall, but our ability to give a farming differential ratio should have been used to offset most of this rapid, unexpected rate increase. What we have got here is a council that operates under a gold-plated standard, while our constituents of our municipality maxed out at their capacity to pay. The farmers under this CIV rating strategy are becoming victims of their own success. If a farm improves their value of their own farm with no help from anyone else, they are then smashed with an increased, what it seems to now be a wealth tax. The issue I have with this strategy is that council wants it both ways. I once purchased the property below the value of the rate notice, so I came in here to argue that I was being overcharged. I was told, lucky you purchased it under the value. They still made me pay what their perceived value was. My understanding was that a property is worth what it can fetch on the market, so obviously I was wrong. I've heard all sorts of arguments that farmland generates an income, but so do rental properties. So where do we stop? And what about when farms don't generate an operating profit and commodity prices are in the trash, or there's a drought or water issues? No one seems to care then. And I sure don't see rates coming down in those times. There is a mentality here that when things are booming, we try to peel as much as we can, and when things are starved, well, we'll just be quiet and leave it alone. No one will complain. We're continually pushing our rate right to the maximum increase that we're allowed to. Thank God there's a rate cap. And I cannot understand how the value of farmland increases the cost of council. Hence, I can't understand why there needs to be the maximum charge based on the valuations. We're running a true surplus if we didn't get interrupted by a grant payment timing. I believe the surplus was about 5 or 6 million. To give farmers a relief of around 20% would have kept their increase within CPI and affected us by a maximum of $500,000, which we could have pulled out of our spending or accordingly out of our surplus. To talk about the user pay system, most of the farmers don't even get to use our rates, get to use our services that we provide. I see this as very unfair that 3 or 4% of the population are paying, what was the figure, council, around 18% of the rates. Perhaps the voting power that we have should be based upon how much you contribute to the rates charged. That'll move the deck chairs a bit around here. In closing, it seems to be overlooked how much our farming community contributes to this municipality economically. Forget about all the figures that are thrown in front of us about other industries. Without farming, there would be no town as we know it. It is one of the very few industries that stands on its own 2 feet without a plethora of government handouts and subsidies, and it seems that farmers and farms, irrigated and dry land, are copping it from every single angle, and our rating strategy can now be added to that list. Therefore, in my opinion, this budget is an unfair impost on farmers, and I will not stand here tonight and support such a thing. But that could have been handled better. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Cirillo. Anybody speak for the motion? Then there's nobody against?
Yeah,
thank you.
Mr. Mayor, it's no surprise to most of the councillors that I
speak against the budget at the moment. I do apologise for not attending all the meetings. I think I attended the first one, and I've basically been hospitalised since then. However, before I start speaking about what I don't like, I just want to say in balance, one thing I do like, and I congratulate the sports portfolio councillor over there for putting the Mervyn Football Club project in its entirety. And I know the community's still got to put in 100,000, but council have come to the mark and really supported that particular project. And Mervyn Football Club will eventually get probably the best football complex we've got up here when it's completed over the summer period during the next budget. And hopefully I can stand here next year and say a couple of things nice about what we've done for our Ripple and the Avon United Football Club. Now, to get into the negatives, and I might say that I've got things to talk about the budget beyond just the thing about the farmers. And there are a number of matters, and I'll get to them in a moment or two, but seeing the debate at the moment has been about what has transpired very quickly. I understand that the farmers have been working hard on their land. I must say that I've been a little disappointed that councillors, I think Councillor Brown may have been the first one to get on top of this and be alerted, but I've been disappointed. I have asked a number of councillors, well, when the draft budget, which came out, and I wasn't here for the draft budget, whether an executive statement came with it to draw to the attention of councillors whether or not there were some significant changes within the budget. And this obviously was one of them. We knew about it because we did the valuations. We also, the rates department would have known about it, but it wasn't drawn to council's attention into an executive statement before the budget was put to us in a draft form. I know if I was in a board of directors of a commercial company, the CEO would have provided an executive statement, and at least would have gone to the chairman, and it would have gone to the other people, and it sets out, it's common in all boards, it sets out if there's changes that people should identify. If you give it with a 700-page document, an executive statement outlines what differences would occur and draws it to your attention. I understand, unfortunately, that didn't happen. Neither did anything. We're locked into this 2018-19 study, and we can't do anything about it.
Point of order. Just clarification. Was there an executive statement?
Yes, and it was brought to the forum, Councillor Thorburn.
Well, Well, can I ask a question? Were the executive statement included?
No.
Okay. Well, it went to the forum. Well, it must have gone. The ball must have gone through to the keeper pretty well, because it wasn't that the Duke Council.
Thank you, Councillor Thorburn. It went to the forum and it was listed, so I think that's the issue in regards to that from a negative perspective. I'd leave that alone and just move on to the next point. Thank you.
Well, having a look at, I understand with the rating system, because I know that what's happened to me as being a resident is that over the years there were six of the 10 houses in the street that I purchased in actually sold again, and the value of my property came down. So did my rates. But I didn't really want that, because I wanted the value in the property so that I had better buying power at the banks. But what happened is that it came down. Now, I understand what's happened in this area. There's been quite a number of big sales. I received a notification saying that everyone in Murrayville was totally against this, but I do note that just recently, and what's been part of the problem, is that that somebody bought somebody else's land. It was a local, I understand, at $1,000 an acre. Well, what happens when you do that is that you put everybody's rate up. Now, while you get the advantage in value, you can go to the bank and you can borrow more, and you do that, it also includes a substantial rate fee. And that's what's happened. It hasn't come to really whether or not we had a statement or not, it hadn't come to the attention of council. The first I read about it was in a reply from the CEO to Councillor Clements, I think it was last week.
Councillor Thorburn, the time's up, but I'll give you an extension. Thank you. 2 minutes.
Then, since Monday, we've had an avalanche. I understand that the farmers have been, but this problem has only been identified in a very recent time. And it's really most unfortunate for councillors, and now we're faced with the dilemma that we're doing tonight. Now, I do understand that, you know, you've got situations where I believe that one of our farmers down towards Anuella, which borders Swan Hill Rural City Council, I think we've got a small area that goes down there. He says that he's got land in both. They border, it goes over the border. There's some parcel in our municipality, parcel in the other municipality, and he was looking to perhaps, with his good this year, put on another employee. But he says to me now that if he's going to get, and it appears that he's going to get another $10,000 raise to his charge. He doesn't know what's going to be the situation over the border. It worries me a little bit when it comes down to losing jobs because of this situation. So I understand that, and I do believe that you can't have it both ways. Understand it. But it should never have come to this late stage in the last dying few days that it's come to an issue it has. Now, moving on to other things, just in the last couple of budgets, a councillor sat very close to me, got up, and he was one that we relied heavily on financial advice as a councillor, and was qualified to have that advice. He has said that part of what we're doing is unsustainable.
1 minute.
And he's referring to...
1 minute, thanks.
No,
it's got a minute to go.
He's referring to a situation with our... While we're capped at 2.2, we've got a situation where our labour rise is going to be something like 4%, and we've done nothing about it. We could have done some things. The easiest way would have been through natural attrition, but we've decided not to. We adopt the policy. Next time we deal with the unions, we'll reduce that amount of 4%. But at the moment,
just in terms of the accuracy of some of the statements that's been made, for example, the natural attrition argument, like we do use that as a mechanism. I'm just worried about mistruths that could be perpetuated as a result of misinformation.
Yes, just keep to the facts that you know.
Keep to the facts. It's 4%. 4%.
Well, Councillor Thorburn, I've been very lenient. You have 1 minute, and then that's another extension. Thank you.
Well, how many minutes have I got? I thought
you've had 3, 4, 5. You're going on to 6 minutes.
Okay. The next thing I want to talk about is the Lawyera Future Ready. I don't think this is, as far as I'm concerned, it's not funded for it. I know the sports
point of order relevance to rating.
It's relevant.
I'm talking about future reading. And we've had a number of arguments in recent months with the government about our percentage. We have not put enough into our future ready. I can tell the sports councillor over there and the other opposite me that if nothing happens in the next 12 months and you don't get some money to do something, you can kiss the project goodbye. It's already 10 years out of date. 10 years ago we started this, and you can go over and have a look, as you, I know you have, over to Taylor and Ben, who started at the same time. I object to putting $1 million into the budget to make Deakin Avenue pretty. That money should have go into Future Ready, at least to try and get some progress on some of the projects in Future Ready. That's a few of the things that why I'm not voting for the budget, because I believe there are better things that we should have put our money in. We should have put more money into infrastructure and projects of the future instead of some of the things that we've done. That's why I object to this budget. It's not just on a farming issue. It's on other things that we haven't done. We haven't tried to reduce our budget. We haven't tried to put it in the right areas, and that's why I'm speaking against it.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Thorburn. Any councillor like to speak for the motion? No. So I'd just like to conclude speaking for the motion. Simon closed first. Sorry, Simon.
Mr. Mayor, I can speak.
That's all right. Thank you, Councillor Thorburn. I'll speak in closing before I ask Councillor Clements to close. I just like to, there's been a lot of debate this evening and it's been really good. And issues that raised this evening that can be, obviously, as the councillors have alluded to, brought up in the review later on this year. As we've also stated about the CIV, that the Local Government Act, which we've participated in, all councils have participated in, at the moment it hasn't passed, it's in the House. That the recommendation is that it will be CIV. So if we're, it's going to be an interesting situation that if that is delivered as to how we take the consideration of what the councillors have said into the evaluation of where we're going to go. I've got to say this, this is an issue that's brought up each year. And the Section 223 of the Local Government Act in 1989 ensures that the public are availed to the opportunity to make submissions to the proposed annual budget. Accordingly, submissions were invited by way of public notice by the closing date 5 p.m. Monday the 11th of June 2018. And I know, and it happens each year, it might be something that you take into consideration too, that it happened to rain and the farmers were on their tractors or whatever the case may be. But, you know, that's the law. So you've got the opportunity. The budget comes as we enter the second year of our 2017-2021 Community and Council Plan, which is our roadmap for the coming of, for the coming 4 years, shaped by residents, needs, priorities and feedback. All residents. All ratepayers. Following an exhaustive engagement process. From my perspective, this was our most successful through the engagement process that I've seen in the 17 years I've been in council, and I made that statement when we passed the council plan. Our annual budget builds on the progress we've already made to achieve our four-year vision in the following key areas: community, economy, environment and council. While a rate increase in line with the 2.25% average rate cap is proposed, the actual rate increase for individual ratepayers will vary depending on their property valuations. We've had that argument. But I just want to reinforce that a review of the current rating strategy, and each of the councillors that voted against it and brought up good points, all those issues can be brought forward. And this is scheduled to commence early in the new financial year. This will involve, once again, as has been said, extensive consultation opportunities for all ratepayers. And just to end this situation, we generally raise this at each of the budgets too. There is a hardship policy. So if there's people out there and they're really struggling to pay their rates, there is the opportunity of bringing your particular situation to the council and talking to the council. And you have councillors that will look very seriously at hardship situations. So in saying that, I'll just pass over to Councillor Clements to close the debate.
Yes, thank you. I think that I need to reiterate something because Councillor Brown's dissertation was predicated on the fact that there's a 22.87% increase.
Average.
And there is not a 22.87% average increase, Mr. Brown. That is not true. That is the increase in the amount of money that's collected. That's not the same thing. Rates will vary considerably depending on individuals, but the vast majority of that particular 22.87%, as I mentioned earlier, related to that large corporations.
What's your point of view?
Isn't the average the amount divided by the total, and that gives you an average? Just clarifying that.
That's my understanding.
So, in calculation of the proposed revenue for this year, the difference between the revenue from last year to this year in dollar terms equates back to that 23%. So it's the total revenue last year raised by farming rates as compared to the total revenue this year, and that's that makes up that percentage.
So therefore the average overall is 22.87%.
Yes. The increase is, yes.
Yes. So can we have that projected?
$2 million. Yeah, sorry. Thank you. Thank you. We haven't heard that.
If several large corporate farmers pay 90%, then the average is pushed up. It doesn't mean that the average farm pays 22.8%.
Point of order.
Is that Councillor Short?
The point made by fellow Councillor Brown was that the rates for farmland are going up by an average of 22.87%. Therefore, if the farmland rates collected are going up by 22.87%, there is an average increase of 22.87%. Am I right or am I wrong?
Not on a per farm basis.
No, he didn't say that.
Well, actually, I didn't per farm.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so we've clarified that. So there is no per farm basis for a 22.87 average increase. That's not the case. Some will go down, some will go up. This happens every year, and it has always happened. There's no change other than the fact that someone said everyone's rate's going up 30%. And that's not the case. That is just not the case. There are some people whose rates will go up, and I particularly feel for the irrigated horticultural area inside the Lower Murray water area, where their rates will increase significantly, at nowhere near 23% of that. But these people are people that we need to protect, but the way we protect them is to do it professionally, and what we have to do is to sit down and work out a rating strategy which involves extensive consultation with everyone and come up with a rating strategy that doesn't shift the burden from one area to the other, but spreads the burden evenly. And we have to do that in a professional way. We can't just knee-jerk react to the fact that someone's yelled 22.87 or 23, which is not true anyway. We have to do this professionally. And the way we do this is through consultation and through a process. This is a professional organisation. We need to act and behave professionally. And we need to work and trust in our council officers and our councillors to work through this as a problem. And that will all be done with consultation with all the people here and all the people out there. That's all I've got to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Clements. Councillors that are voting for the budget, please raise your hands. Those against? It passes the budget.
Recorded.
Thank you. I'll have those recorded. Thank you.
What was it?
5-4.
Just on there, I've got a work function that I have to be at about half an hour ago. So I'd like to be excused. Thank you.
I'll allow that. Thank you, Councillor Newman. Thank you, councillors. Can we go to 14.2. I'll give you a minute to clear the room. Thanks. Thank you. Thanks for your attendance. Mm.
Which we'll show in the minutes now is 14.2.
Yeah, yeah, we'll change that.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yep, all good.
Yoga? Yeah, walk the cat.
Okay, thank you, councillors. We'll resume with the meeting and management. Let's go to 14.1, the state election 2018 Municipal Association of Victoria. We have a motion at 2. Do I have a mover?
I think I'll declare a conflict of interest for this, given that I'm a candidate in the state election.
Okay. So, of course, can we still cover? Thank you.
Yep, done.
Okay, we still need a mover, thank you. Mover for this item, 14.1, Councillor Modica, second. Councillor Cirillo, anybody want to speak against the motion? Those, raise your hands if you're those in favour.
Carried.
14.2. Oh, yes, Councillor.
We're done.
It was in favour.
It's recommended.
Okay, 14.2, Events Funding and Support Grant Program, New Event Sponsorship, Mildura Speedway Drivers Club. Do I have a mover at 2? Mover, Councillor Poole, second, Councillor Clements. Anybody speak against the motion? In favour? Carried. 14.3, adoption of the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander recognition policy with recommendation at 2. Do I have a mover? Councillor Modica, seconder. Councillor Clements. Are there any objections? I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried. 14.4, El Fresco Dining Policy and Street Trader Policy Review, consideration of submission and adoption of new footpath trading policy, and I have a recommendation at 2. Do I have a
question?
Yes,
wasn't this part of a question that Councillor Mill raised tonight, was incorporated into this particular, or addressed this particular matter? If it was, and it was moved to forum, I suggest we lay it on the table.
I think my understanding is Councillor
Mill. I'll have some advice on that, thanks.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, and my understanding is that Councillor Mill was referring to the provisions within Local Law Number 2, which should be a separate matter.
Okay. You clear on that, Councillor Fulburn? So do I have a mover? Sorry, Councillor Clemens, seconded. Councillor Poole, any objectors? So we'll put the motion. Those in favour? Carried. 14.5, 14.5 Community and Council Plan 2017 to 2021. This is the 2018 update, and there's a recommendation of two. Do I have a mover? Moving, Councillor Kappa. Second, Councillor Modica. Do I have anybody objecting? No objections. Can I put the motion? Those in favour? Carried. 14.6, adoption of the Strategic Resource Plan 2018-2019 to 2021-2022. The motion at the recommendation, 2. We'll have a mover. Councillor Modica, second. Councillor Kappa, any objections? No objections, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried. 14.8, adoption of the fraud policy, control policy and fraud corruption control plan. The recommendations are 2. Do I have a mover? Councillor Clemens, seconder. Councillor Pearl, any objections? No objections. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried. You're in favour?
Yes, it's all right. It's fine, yeah.
Thank you. 14.9, adoption of procurement of goods and services. Okay, thank you, Councillor Brown. Seconder, Councillor Modica. Are there any objections? No objections. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried. General revaluation at recommendation 2. Do I have a mover? Mover, Councillor Brown. Second, Councillor Clements. Do I have any objections? No objections. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried.
Do you have any questions?
The Local Government Community Satisfaction Survey results 2018. Recommendations at 2. Do I have a mover? Councillor Clemens, seconder. Councillor Kappa. Do I have any objections? No objections. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Carried.
No questions.
14.12, the Audit Committee meeting and minutes on the 10th of May, and the recommendation of 2. Do I have a mover? Councillor Modica and seconded Councillor Clements. Any objections? All those in favour? Carried. Adoption of the Buildings Asset Management Plan at 14.13. Question?
A question, Mr. Mayor. Just wonder, because I wasn't in the forum when this was adjudicated or talked about, does it contain any aspect of, you know, people with disabilities and disability access to various buildings? Does this, it's not mentioned in there, would disability and disability improvements and access be included elsewhere, or what's the situation?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, it's not down to that level, but those things that you're talking about are definitely included in other policies and planning documents.
Is that under review? It's a further question, Mr. Mayor, through you. Is that a process, or is that going to happen at that level in the future?
Just to clarify the question through you, Mr. Mayor, is at which level, at this asset management?
No, the above level, you know, which would detail. What I'm asking about is, you know, when do we get a chance to talk about lifts or disability access to our two-storey buildings, and also things like access to one of our assets, namely the grandstand at number one oval?
Mr. Mayor, I think that's in another policy. Yeah. Thanks.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, we're actually in the process of starting the review of the community access plan, which is the plan that sort of looks at council strategy regarding access for all. and we've started the actual review process, and that's where some of the issues that you're raising would be picked up, Councillor Corbyn.
Thanks for that answer.
Thank you, Councillor Thorburn. Yep. Thank you, Councillor Shulo. You had a question? Have you got a question?
So from the forum, I wanted to congratulate the officers that presented the asset management plan to us, because it was all quite detailed. And as they said, local government is unique to be responsible for so many various assets, and if you haven't had a replacement value of more than one group, it's not working for you.
Oh, okay.
More than $1 billion. So we're looking forward to being one of the five Victorian councils that are going to go through the audit process next year, which will also include the analysis of the framework and also the maturity of our asset management. So
at that, would you like to second the motion? Any objectives? Okay, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carry on. 14.14, Girl Guide Hall located at 158 Orange Avenue in Mildura, and the recommendations at 2. Do I have a mover? Councillor Clemens, seconder. Councillor Monica, no objections. No objections, so I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried. We've got 14, 15 minutes. Okay. Use and development of the land for plant nursery and group occupation. And there's a Councillor.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move an alternative, put an alternative motion.
You'll put a motion.
Yeah. The motion is as follows. We grant a permit on the land as land known and described as 496 Moorpung Avenue, Arimpool, volume 10443, folio 457, for the use and the development of the land for a plant nursery and group accommodation with the following amendments. There is only one ATCO hut or dwelling to be permitted. To be built opposed to two. The duration of this permit is only 5 years, in which a 173 agreement is to be signed, making the applicant responsible for the removal of this ATCO hut or dwelling. Once the ATCO hut or dwelling is removed, the 173 agreement will cease. All this is to be built subject to the necessary conditions and standards.
Seconded by Councillor Thorburn. Do I have any objections? Objection, Councillor Monica. Just a debate. Thank you, Councillor Shua.
Sorry, I was ready to jump right in. Sorry, Ann.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Fellow councillors, I urge you to support my motion. Here we have an applicant that basically, in a nutshell, is just wanting to accommodate her 82-year-old father while she works at plant nursery. I wouldn't usually support these types of applications, as from a checklist point of view, it doesn't seem to fit in our policy. However, that doesn't necessarily mean the correct thing to do here is to refuse this application. This is the difference between the powers that the management have and the powers that we as councillors have. And I believe that the management has done their job in providing us with that recommendation according to their ability and their powers. From a checklist point of view, as I mentioned, there's, I believe, no wrongdoing there done. So I look at this application as somewhat a very genuine attempt to try and work within the policy to accommodate this 82-year-old gentleman. Under our current group accommodation policy, an applicant cannot actually apply for a dwelling to accommodate a single person only. So here we have an applicant who will only be occupying a few square metres of land that will never be farmed, as the report does allude to, and will once again assist to the sustainability of this agricultural enterprise by allowing work to be carried out in the nursery in a much more timely and efficiently manner. Furthermore, I must remind you, a 173 agreement will only allow this to exist for 5 years, and the cost will be borne by the applicant. So I see it as a very fair and equitable outcome. I do see this as part of our duty of care and responsibility that all of our local residents are able to be catered for by the policies we set. And I will continue to support things that are not catered for under our current policies. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Shiro. Councillor Thorburn.
Well, Mr. Mayor, firstly, I do support the right that accommodation can be provided for workers on farms. Now, this is slightly different, as Councillor Cirillo has said. It's a wholesale nursery. It's not a public nursery that they've established on this particular allotment. I think that about half of it at the moment is part of under agriculture, and they've got plans to expand it. The person we're talking about is an 82-year-old man, and hence I gather that's why Councillor Cirillo has put a time frame on it. He probably won't be living there every day. I think the idea is that he wants to work his day or 2 days, whatever he can do, on the land, and then they'll have to go back at night. And I think you'll find that that is actually what's going to happen, that it will be a situation where it'll only be partly used. It's on the land. At the moment, half of it's under agriculture. Further expansion could develop on this. As Councillor Cirillo said, in 5 years' time, hopefully at 87, he decides that he no longer wants to work and retire, and then we can remove it again and make it as it was now. I don't see any problem with this. I think the safeguards are there, and he should. And I think he's got every right if he wants to keep working, because the government doesn't retire people these days, and he can keep working there, playing his bit in a business, and it won't cause anyone any concerns at all. It's not as though there's a huge amount of traffic, as it's a wholesale nursery. It's not a public nursery that we know in other areas of the area. That's why I'm supporting it on this instance, because in 5 years' time, they've got to take it up, pull it up, take it somewhere else, and everything will be back to what it is now.
Thank you, Councillor Thorburn. Against the motion, Councillor Marika.
Thank you, Councillor Mill. Councillor, big night, sorry. Would you like me to walk out there? No, I agree with the sentiment of both councillors that have previously spoken, but I just don't think it fits within the rules and the requirements of the planning department. It's a good report that's put together. It's there for a reason. We need to adhere to our statutory laws. Thank you.
But are you speaking for the motion? Councillor Evans.
Yes, thank you. It's probably a bit unusual for me, because I'm usually the councillor that speaks out first in relation to the protection of horticultural land, and I still maintain that position, and I will very strongly and firmly support the protection of agricultural land. But like all things, there are from time to time exceptions to the rule. I think that this initially came to council with a recommendation for two cabins, and they were to be two-bedroom cabins. And the argument there was that the elderly gentleman, the father, would stay in one cabin, and some fictitious yet-to-be employed assistant would go into the other two-bedroom cabin. And, of course, I think everybody thought or were concerned that this was going to turn into some sort of backpacker accommodation kind of alternative or extra income scenario. I think for that reason, Councillor Cirillo has quite rightly gone back and made some further inquiries with these people, and they've come up with this alternative. He is an elderly gentleman. He does apparently work on the property. This is for a limited time. It's only 5 years. And the other aspects of it that were cause for concern, that being the two-bedroom cabins, that's been removed under Councillor Cirillo's recommendation. I think that this will not cause irreparable damage to agricultural land in the long term, and therefore I'm prepared to support it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Clements. Against the motion?
I just have a question.
I'll allow the question.
I would just be interested in what the implications might be legally if we were to approve it.
Thank you.
Through you, Ms. Mayor, there's probably not any particularly great legal implications. We will have a technical difficulty in that technically we can't issue a permit for one hut because it is an application for group accommodation. So that throws a difficulty.
Thank you, Ms. Weir.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
It's just on the back of Ms. Whelan's comments.
It is a question.
Would it be more appropriate for this application to be resubmitted in that case, in the form that Councillor Sirwell has suggested?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, at any point someone could resubmit an application, it would be assessed on its merits against planning scheme and policies that both officers and councils are bound by.
So, what I've gathered, there's nobody who wants to speak against the motion, so I'll let you to close. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. To pick up on some points, thank you for Councillor Clements and Councillor Thorburn's support and meeting my view on this. And I do acknowledge Councillor Monica's also advice is to follow statutory law, which I intend to follow at all times. I think in regards to Councillor Cupper's question or Councillor Clements' question, I don't believe there is an option. I don't think that this application would have been accepted at all if it was for a single use occupancy, and it is given it needed to be submitted as group accommodation to even get a look in. And so obviously we had an application before us to start off with that it was going to be the elderly gentleman in one, and as Simon, Councillor Clements pointed out, there was going to be another person in the other. As you can see, I don't really support that type of thing because there was too many unknowns and question marks for my liking. I have, after consulting with the applicant, found some middle ground. Sorry, I'll retract that. After understanding what is acceptable, I believe, what the outcome was intended for was to accommodate the 82-year-old gentleman. I believe the amended motion that I've put forward caters for that, and as has no implications on agriculture. So that's why I put the motion and hope for your support. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Shirley, for closing the debate. I will call for I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Against? Can I have that count again? Four, right up high, thank you. One, two, three, four, five. Against? Four. Three. That's all. We've got one less, yeah. So the motion is passed.
Can I have that recorded too, please?
Yeah.
Yep. Could I have mine
recorded?
Yes, thank you, better.
Okay, so we have no urgent business, so we get public questions.
We've received one, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, Ms. Mayor, where is that?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, this is a question from Narelle Smith. The pound relies heavily on local animal rescue/rehoming groups to reduce the numbers of euthanised animals per year. Would the council consider providing funding and/or reduced vet costs incurred by these groups and individuals? What we would encourage any groups of that nature to do is apply for some grant funding under council's grant programs and specifically the community partnerships grant.
And that's it for questions. Thank you. All right, we'll move out of council now. If I have a mover, please. Councillor Monica, second. Councillor Clements. Those in favour? Carried. Thank you. We will go into confidential business now. And the confidential business is up on the board there. 17.1. Tender award, management of council-owned aquatic facilities. 17.2, tender award, supply of bulk fuel contract. 17.3, tender award supply of motor vehicles. 17.4, end user computing equipment state purchasing contract. And 17.5, enforcement order. Thank you. And the other two, which is, of course, insurance renewal program 2018-2019 and public liability and professional indemnity insurance. Thank you. If we can just clear the chamber at the moment, thank you, and proceed with our
Richard DeGeneres.
Thanks for attending.